And then we'll get started. Ooh, thank you. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are conducting our business today on the traditional territory of the Musqueam First Nation and the Coast Salish peoples. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce the Honourable Peter Fassbender to bring greetings from the Ministry of Community, Sport and Cultural Development. Minister Fassbender was elected MLA for Surrey Fleetwood in May of 2013. In July 2015, he was appointed our Minister of Community, Sport and Cultural Development, and had the added responsibility of TransLink tagged onto him. He previously served as Minister of Education and currently serves on the Cabinet Committee on Secure Economy, the Priorities and Planning Committee, and the Cabinet Working Group on Climate Leadership. Prior to his election to the Legislative Assembly, Peter served as a councillor for the City of Langley for 3 years before being elected mayor in the November 2005, 2008, and 2011 civic elections. Please help me welcome our Minister, Peter Fassbender.
Well, thank you, Rona, and I too want to acknowledge the traditional territories of the Coast Salish people and the traditions of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be here today. I'm especially delighted because I was here earlier this week with the area directors meeting, and they gave me an hour and a lot of questions. Actually, I didn't get a lot of questions. And I usually feel good about that because if my remarks touch on the issues, then you don't get questions. If you don't, then people want to ask. So this morning, and I was really interested when I saw the theme for the conference. So I want you to know that I'm not here this morning with any alternative facts. I think we're going to wear that out fairly quickly, but I want you also to know that I'm delighted to be here in Prince George. That snow out there is actually, we're in Richmond. I made it out, I drove in this morning from the valley, and I didn't hit snow until I hit Richmond. And you know, it's amazing how those of you that are from rural British Columbia and from the north, when you hear the people in the lower mainland panic when somebody says snow, it becomes the leading news story on every media outlet, and you know, we should be getting used to it by this time. I'm delighted, as I said, when I saw the theme for the conference. I don't know how many of you know, but in my career prior to getting more deeply embedded in public service, I was in the communications business, and I spent most of my career doing communications for governments, provincially, locally, federally, and some international work. And one of the things that I noted when I was in that business is how badly sometimes we in government do communications. And I don't say that to be critical of people who work in government, because Gary and Nicola are here, and they'd probably throw something at me if I did that. But, you know, we spend a lot of time, and I think all of you do, as members of local government staff and elected officials, we spend a lot of time looking at what we want to do from a policy point of view. So staff spend hours putting together briefing documents and reports, providing that to their elected officials, and they do a lot of really good work. Having been a mayor for 3 terms and a counselor for 1 term, I know how hard staff worked all the time to make sure the council had the best information that they could in order to make the decisions that they had to make. And sometimes, as many of you who are appointed officials know, council doesn't always agree with the recommendation that's at the bottom of the page. And that's part of democracy. That's why people are elected into leadership to make decisions. But one of the things that I learned and I think is critical in terms of your discussions, there's 2 key elements. And I say this to the team that I work with in the ministry, and I think Gary and Nicola would attest to that. They would know that every time I say, what's the communications plan around what we're doing? And, you know, in government sometimes we feel that by putting out a news release or a briefing note, we've done it, and everybody will know what we're doing. And that is absolutely not true. And I have always tried to say, everything we do, it doesn't matter how large or how small, needs a communications plan. And we end up doing it at the end of the process as opposed to doing it at the beginning and throughout the process. And so I take it very seriously that I need to, along with our team, say who is the audience for what we're doing. And of course, in government, we say it's the electorate, it's the taxpayers, it's the people that need to know. But sometimes we forget that they are even broken down into segments. Seniors look at things differently than millennials do, and that's understandable, and yet sometimes our communications tend to try and be all things to all people, as opposed to being targeted to the people and where they're at, not where we're at, but where are they? What do they understand? What do they need to know in order to know how they're being affected by whatever decisions and policies we're doing? So I would urge everyone in this room, as I did my team when I was in the city of Langley, as I do now in the ministry, is when you're thinking of doing anything, ask yourself the question right at the beginning of that conversation and challenge each other, is what is the communications plan that we need to develop for this? And I know, for example, when I and we as a team in the ministry are doing things, one of the first things I say is, who are all the audiences? And one of them is my colleagues in government. We do a bad job sometimes, and I think most of you would be shocked to know that in government, one ministry doesn't know what the next ministry is doing. Now, I know that's hard to believe, but it does happen. And it's not because we don't want to communicate with each other, but we are busy like all of you are, and sometimes you forget that one of the first things is to make sure your colleagues understand what you're doing and what impact what you're doing might have on what they're doing. And I believe fundamentally that everything that the provincial government does has a cause and effect on local governments. And so one of the things that I've asked for in government is that when we get issues documents, we very often say in it, what are the effects on First Nations? Do they need to be consulted on this initiative and so on? And I've asked for a box to be added that says, what is the effect on local government? Because I am absolutely convinced there is nothing we do that doesn't have an effect on local government in some degree or another, some more than others. But we absolutely need to identify who is going to be affected by what we're doing. And I would say to each and every one of you from local government, as leaders in your communities, you need to do that as well. And it's a discipline you have to force. And I remember many times we're sitting with our staff, at the end we'd say, oh, okay, well, I guess we better put out a press release about this. And the press release might have been the worst thing we could do, but we figured we better communicate something to somebody. And I do believe that staff and elected officials in local governments spend a lot of time playing catch-up, because when you make decisions and you put them out there, then people react because they didn't know ahead of time that you're maybe heading down a road or considering certain things. And so then you and staff spend a lot of time fighting fires, not because of the issue necessarily, but the fact that people didn't know about it and they went, oh, I'm surprised that this is happening. And so I challenge you as you go through your sessions, and I know what you've already done, communication, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's broader than that, identify who the audiences are, what they need to know, and even within local governments. And I met with a lot of people in my time as a mayor at UBCM and so on, how many times they realized that even within their own local government, various departments didn't know what was going on because the communication discipline was not inbred in the DNA of the organization. And so I think it is absolutely critical for you to do that. The other part of it is ethics, and ethics is a really interesting name because very often we're accused of, as elected officials, and I've had that a few times in my career, being accused that we don't have the degree of ethical conduct that we should when we are doing things in our roles as leaders, whether you're an appointed official or elected. And then underpinning everything, and I think, you know, my opening comment about alternate facts. When that came out, it was very clear the facts said this, but someone wanted to put a different lens on it. And to me, that is a slippery slope that none of us should go down. And, you know, very often governments are accused of spin and all of these kinds of things. And I'll tell you this, those of you that know me, I'm a pretty straight shooter. And if I believe in something, I'll stand up and say it. And I'll know that there are people in the room who don't agree with me. But that's the beauty of democracy. And I've always believed that saying it like it really is and being respectful, and I think that's the key, is making sure that you respect different opinions and allow people to have a contrary point of view, that's good and that's healthy. And I remember one situation as mayor where we were involved in a major alignment on the gateway in the lower mainland. And we had a public meeting about this project. We had all the experts there. We had all of the material, we had handouts, again, because I said we need to make sure that the people in the community know what's happening. And one of the groups was a development and townhouses that were going to be backing on to a major redevelopment of a road. And we did a lot of work in terms of looking at that and so on, and we went up to this meeting, and most of the people who were there were seniors in the community. And we had the public meeting and the information session because I knew they were concerned about how it would affect the value of their properties, the livability, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember this lady coming up to me at the session, and she was a sweet lady, but she came up to me and she was poking me in the chest, literally. She's saying, "You better listen to me." And I said, "I am." "Well, you are not doing what I want you to do." And I said, "Well, the first thing you need to do is stop poking me in the chest, because I'm worried you're going to break your finger." And I said, "But let me tell you this. I am listening to you. I know your concerns. And if you listen to us, you will hear that we've considered the value of your property, the livability, the noise, the drainage, all of the things that they were all worked up about because somebody started a rumor here that the drainage was going to be worse and that it was going to be noisy. There was going to be trucks going down this particular road." And I said, "But you're not listening because," excuse me, "all of the concerns you have are identified in the pieces we've given you." "No, they're not, because I know it's not true." And I said, "Well, here," and she poked me in the chest again. And I said, "I need to tell you that what you see up there and what we've done is true. You may not like it. I know you probably don't believe it. I have a water here, Joan. I'm good. Thanks. But you need to know we've considered all of those things. The reason we're doing this is to communicate to you that the concerns that you have been addressed." Well, I ran into her, maybe 7-8 months after the project was finished. She came up to me and she said, "You know, Mayor Fassbender, I love you. Everything you told me was true. My yard's better. It's not as wet in the wintertime because the drainage is better. And there's no noise from the cars because you put up this beautiful wall with the nice design on it, and it helps my backyard." And she said, "You know, I didn't believe you at the time, but I do now." And so for me, what was important in that is we made a conscious effort to communicate, to identify the concerns, to lay those out, and to then deliver on what we promised. And so for me, that was one of those instances where I know staff, when we talked about it, the time it was going to take to have that public engagement process was onerous on staff and the consultants, but it was really important because of the angst that I was well aware of, knowing who the audience was and what we needed to do. So ladies and gentlemen, I know you've got lots of interesting things. You're going to hear from Gordon Ruth today and the work that he's doing as the Auditor General for local government. You're going to have a lot of other good sessions. And I would only say this, that everything we do needs a communications plan, whether it's one-on-one to start or broader. Take time to think about communications when you're worrying about policy and start thinking about that right at the beginning. Don't wait till the end. And make sure that the best thing you can do, one of the rules in the marketing and advertising business I was in, you need to tell people what you want them to know at least 7 times in order for it to sink in. So that's why they hit you with all these commercials all the time on television. You need 7 times at least. And in our world, in government, in leadership, it's even more important because there is a cynicism about whether we really care about the people that we serve and what we're doing. And I know for a fact there is nobody in this room or any of the tables that I sit around who doesn't care about the people we're supposed to serve. But we live in a very cynical world where people think you're out of touch with who we are and what our needs are. And the way to turn that around and the way to have ethics be seen as part of your DNA is to take the time to make sure you communicate effectively. I try to do that in my role now as minister. And I know that when I do that, there's all kinds of different opinions that I face. But at the end of the day, standing up and being clear and consistent and deliberate in your communications is absolutely fundamental. So thank you for the opportunity. Enjoy the rest of your day. Don't worry, the snow will eventually melt here. Thank you very much for your time.